from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Remember, you can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker.
Just say, play 93.7 WEEI.
Now, more of Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
Why do you think Gerard Mayo might have maybe opened the door for people to be like, maybe May can get in there week one? Is this just Mayo being Mayo, as we've discussed, in day-to-day, the sky's green, blue, purple, red? Or do you think maybe it was a message more towards Jacoby Brissett? What did you make of it?
I think there's, you know, initially I thought it was weird that it's just, all right, listen, this can't be a coincidence, right? Was he just waiting to see something so he could, feel comfortable, you know, letting everybody know and letting Jacoby Brissett know, listen, like, he's catching up to you or he's outplaying you? Or is it like, listen, I'm never going to change my mind, but I just need more from Jacoby Brissett. If you were just based on the practices that we watched and the games that you saw, who would you start? Forget about age, rank. Who would you play?
Well, I mean, I would still lean to Brissett right now.
Remove age, remove rank.
But I can trust him. That's what I know what he is. He has come here and been exactly what he is. He'll throw picks in the red area. He'll make some good throws.
So you're trusting and expecting mistakes.
But everybody likes him. Well, hell, the head coach told me some of the people he hired he might have to fire after a year. That's so true. Yeah. So the head coach has primed the pump for me to think that, yes, there's going to be a lot of mistakes, a lot of screw-ups, and more turnover at the end of the year. But at the end of the day, right now, Brissett, you can trust him to go run it. The guys are behind him. And this is going to sound ruthless. I cannot stress enough. I'm not rooting for this, okay? But if in the first couple of weeks, Jacoby Brissett gets hurt because there's dysfunction, people playing bad, whatever it is around him, great. It's not going to hurt us at the end of the day. It's not going to hurt us as fans. It's not going to hurt the football team at the end of the day. Not wishing for the guy to get injured. But if there's going to be some screwiness, you know, like we've seen the whole blitz right up the middle, guess what's going to happen? I'd rather have Jacoby Brissett get blasted in the chops than Drake May right now. So from that end, yeah, I'm kind of slow playing it a little bit. But this also ties into one of my bitches down there. There's no intensity at that position whatsoever because they've told these two guys what exactly is going on. Like, we wake up and it's almost like, boy, I think this might be a message from Mayo to Jacoby Brissett. Well, they've all been down there when we've been there acting like, hey, I'm just here for a couple of weeks and then I'll be the high-paid backup. And the kid didn't come in saying, I'm going to go grab that spot. It's more, yeah, at some point it'll be mine. So in many, many ways, the way there was the plan, and you can communicate to them what they're thinking, but it's up to the head coach to drive the players so that he can either execute that plan or change it along the way. And instead, it's been Camp Tranquilo. Everything's cool down here.
Yeah.
And it's now showing up in the quarterback spot because Drake May is working hard every day just to get the job. And Jacoby Brissett acts like a guy who is very comfortable in his role.
Yeah, it is. It is a weird position that he's in because it's not like Jacoby Brissett has like a reward at the end of camp. It's not like, hey, my hard work is paying off.
Bingo.
So it's a weird kind of position that he's in. So he's not nervous because his money is basically guaranteed. So he can just, you know, do what they ask him to do, keep it as clean as possible. Ultimately, he knows he's going to be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
So how fully committed can you really be? I feel like that's a weird position. That's fine. I mean, it's happened before.
Well, can I ask you, as a former vested veteran in the NFL, if you knew you were going to get your $8 million, how motivated would you be to say, you know what, I got to hold myself to my standard of excellence and go out there and try to do whatever it is that I, Christian Fourier, do. Yeah, but if I don't, checks ain't going to bounce.
So I had the same situation. I think I told you this with Mark Brunell when I played for the Washington
Redskins.
You
went over this last week.
Yeah, yep. He was Jason Campbell. We were just waiting to suck and knowing that he would be replaced. And sure as hell, and I was friends with Mark. We would eat, you know, pregame meal together.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just he was real relaxed. He was making his money. He wasn't going to be charged with doing anything crazy, and we all knew he wouldn't. So he just, it was like status quo. It was just a weird vibe around the entire organization. But I will ask you this. If you're the coach and you're in the same situation as Jerod Mayo, forget about the contradictions, the, you know, all the different things that he's been saying and how he's saying it,
no,
how he's changed. If you're the coach,
mm-hmm,
and you're basing your opinion just on what we see and what you need to get out of Drake May, because you're responsible for him now.
Correct.
Like, you're literally responsible for his development. If you screwed up, there could be a long line of guys that you'll be hanging out with who screwed up their quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do?
Well, I would play Brissett for a month because I would insulate myself from the thoughts of ownership by doing it that way. We went slow. We took our time.
It's the safe route, isn't it?
No question.
It is, and I'm with you.
I really do think deep, 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 deep down in their soul, for as much as Robert and Jonathan Kraft would love to have Drake May on the field early, the lasting impact of Mac Jones makes that whole organization go slow when it comes to Drake May. Because, again, if he doesn't play the first 4 or 5 weeks, it's no guarantee that it's going to jumpstart the kid in a way to where, excuse me, he's just going to take over and do unbelievable things. What I would like to not do is make sure the kid doesn't drown in the first month. And to me, that's where, if you're Jerod Mayo, and say the kid goes out there and just falls apart early, how does Jerod Mayo turn around and explain that to his bosses who thought they had a quarterback that got him to the playoffs, which he did in 21, and then it went all backwards from there? I think a part of the job is managing the owners. And the owners have never had more say than they have ever had since going back to the year probably 2001.
Yeah, and I think that it's two. If either you fully, fully commit to playing him from the day camp opens and you give him 65 to 70% of the reps. You force it. Jacoby Brissett doesn't need as many reps. You know what you're going to get from him. You could steal some of his reps and give them because he's a vet. The other guys, the Baileys of the world, the Milton the third, all those guys, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Your main priority is force feeding as many reps as possible. That's why I love that the Tom Brady quote. Maybe a player would come back because they need more reps. There's not enough time. There's no two-a-days. There's no, like, it's like they have to get it. And if he tries to start them now, it's too late because you missed opportunities in the first preseason game. You missed opportunities in the second preseason game. Hell, I would have played him the entire first half in the first preseason game. You're our guy. Get used to it. You're going to screw up. Get used to it. We're doing the same thing next week. Get used to it. And, oh, by the way, you're playing in the third preseason game. Get used to it.
And you know what? Now that you look back on that first preseason game, that is clearly a part of the preordained, let's say, structure
yep.
that they put in place.
And suddenly he's changing. Suddenly that right. plan is like all in one game, one preseason game, in a couple practices where you're throwing touchdowns on 7-on-7. Like, that's all you needed to see to change your mind?
And here's the thing that I think we need to remind people. The kid's on track. It's just the impatience of fans
that's us.
Wanting something more. Yeah. But if we're going to be fair about it, again, other than the people screaming, ah, Brissett sucks, you're a moron, blah, blah, blah. It'd be like, listen, if it became just about Drake May, he's not there yet, but he's getting there. He's taking all of the steps. The growth is happening. Just because it isn't happening at mock speed to where you can throw him in there week one and then go, oh, boy, we don't have enough around him or whatever it would be. Like, it's not like Drake May is falling behind if he doesn't start week one. And I think there are some that are jumping to the conclusions of, well, if he's not ready after camp when all these other guys are, then he must be behind. No. They're just being prudent with what they're doing with him in accordance with what they've shown him. And I go back to, right now, he can't consistently take a snap under center. Some of that might be the center, but guess what? It's the quarterback's job to hold the ball. Like, regardless. Yeah. And that those are the kinds of things that have to happen consistently in practice before they can say, you know what? He's either good enough he'll overcome the mistake, or he just won't make it in the first place.
I know we got a break, but here's the landmine, the sneaky trap door that I think will force everything to change. Is Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett has to be just at least serviceable.
Correct.
If he's less than that, if he's throwing picks, fumbling the ball, throwing the ball in the stands, if he's doing that stuff, if he's just literally not accurate and overthrowing people, you will be forced to go in the other direction because he's the only, like, he's the only safety net you have to the fans, to ownership, to everybody. Guys, he's keeping us afloat. I trust him. He's doing everything right. I know he's limited. Hell, our whole team is limited, mm-hmm. but at least he isn't. So get off my back. If he does and looks like he did in the first two preseason games, he won't make it to game two. I don't think so.
Interesting. So you think he'll play? You think there's a chance Brissett plays himself out
yes,
quickly?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. 617-779-7937.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
There used to be college programs. Now there are college teams. You're no longer learning a program, you're learning a playbook. And the program is ultimately, like in Michigan, for me, that was a pro-style program. 5 years I got to learn how to drop back pass, to read defenses, to read coverages, to be coached. I had to learn from being seventh quarterback on the depth chart to moving up to third to ultimately being a starter. I had to learn all those things in college. That was development. Then I went to New England and I was developed by Coach Belichick and the offensive staff there. I didn't start my first year. I think it's just a tragedy that we're forcing these rookies to play early. But the reality is the only reason why they are is because we dumbed the game down, which has allowed them to play. It used to be thought of at a higher level. We used to spend hours and hours in the offseason and training camp trying to be a little bit better than next year. But I think what happens is it discourages the coaches from going to deep levels because they realize the players don't have the opportunity to go to a deep level. So they're just going to teach them where they're at.
That was Tom Brady at Fanatics Fest talking about rookie quarterbacks and the game and where it's gone. And I think Foye and I broke it down earlier today as simply as this. In the pros, everybody is good. There are very few wounded animals or sick animals that would be out there. That whereas in college, it's, I got two good wide receivers and they only have one good corner. So one of my wide receivers is going to eat big because I know the other guy can't cover him. One of the best that I ever saw doing it was Mark Whipple. UMass. And he had Andy Isabella. And it was like, Izzy is to the field in the slot. Here comes the go route for the touchdown. And that's exactly what would happen because Whip would work them into, you put that guy on the field. Now I'm going to attack him. It's not the best of the best in college football all the time, roster to roster. There are probably 100 schools that don't have the kind of talent the teams do in the SEC or the Big Ten. That's why Michigan and Alabama puts a ton of guys in the pros every year because they've already been coached as if they're pros, not, you know, to be second team all league in the ACC.
So it is interesting. So out of all the quarterbacks drafted, right? So Caleb Williams going to start. Jaden Daniels with the Washington Redskins. Dan Quinn. I mean, it's not a first time head coach. You know, is actually his offensive coordinator is Cliff Kingsbury. So Jaden Daniels is going to start.
Mm-hmm.
You got JJ McCarthy. He's hurt. He's not going to play. You got Michael Penix Jr. He didn't even play in that second preseason game, so he's not going to play. And plus, Kirk Cousins is the quarterback. And then you got Bo Nix.
Well, Bo Nix also has the one thing that these other quarterbacks don't, which is amazing to me.
What, Sean Payton?
Well, yeah, because, you know, I mean, and even whenever we thought there was going to be a coaching search here, not knowing that it was already handed to Mayo, what were fans screaming? It's our offensive league. Gotta go get one of those guys there. Well, Caleb Williams is being coached by Eberflus. Jaden Daniels is being coached by Dan Quinn. Drake May's being coached by freaking Gerard Mayo. And then you go down to Bo Nix and, oh, one of the brightest offensive minds the league has ever seen. No wonder why that guy is ready to start even though he was the 12th pick.
Yeah, but it is weird. So why is Washington's philosophy, strategy, why is their strategy different than New England's?
Can I give it to you?
Yeah.
And we're going through a tiny bit of it here, but nowhere near as much. We're going through like 2% of it here because they've grabbed the organization back. Dopey owner syndrome, new owner in Washington. Ooh, got to put all my toys on the field right away. Hey, Adam Peters, you know what I want you to be? I want you to be aggressive. I want you to put the young guys out there. Woo! It's going to be flashing everything.
Jerry Jones owns the Redskins.
No, but I mean,
sorry, the Commanders.
No, yeah, I mean, but seriously, new owner syndrome. Yes, create the buzz, the excitement, da-da-da. Here it was the bad man's gone. And then now it is, all right, reasonably, how quickly can we get the kid on the field?
So, I just feel like if one guy, so you go 1, 2, and 3 at quarterback, and the guy that was picked second overall, Jaden Daniels,
mm-hmm.
has won the job.
Yeah.
He's going to be the starting quarterback. They've announced it already. Yet Drake May is what just, it's just, I just, the philosophy is just weird to me because they're both in similar situations. It's not like the Commanders are any good, a tough division. So I'm not sure why they decided it was worth it for them to put their young quarterback second overall, Drake May third overall in harm's way where he could be ruined. And not Drake May.
Well, in New England, in Washington, I think you're trying to completely turn the page, meaning ownership as well. So really, for the Washington Commanders organization, this is a new day, like the new day in WWE. Yes, it is. It's a new day for them because you've literally turned the whole franchise over or are in the process of doing so. Luckily here, for as much as ownership has taken back their franchise, we have stable ownership and not, you know, new eyes coming in there who are like, man, I got to get a new building. I got to get this. I got to get that. Let me create the buzz by playing the young guy. You know, in Chicago, for whatever it's worth, Caleb Williams walked into an existing coaching staff who had already put their flags in the ground. They don't have to worry about maybe where ownership is at so much. And they bring this guy in and they integrate him into what is here. Here it's very different because it's all new, including a whole new coaching staff just getting put together with people who've never done some of the jobs before. So I do think while we look at it and say, well, it's just a bunch of young quarterbacks, what are the subtle differences? In some instances, like with Denver, they're into year two. Their baselines, their foundation's already built in their mind.
Do you think that the plan would have been the same regardless of who they drafted? Or do you think that their plan is predicated on the fact that it's Drake May and he's 21 years old?
No,
and the other guys, because the other guys are older. Bo Nix is older. Jaden Daniels is older.
That's where the ghost of Mac Jones still lives. Regardless of who it was, now maybe it would have been a little quicker if it were Caleb Williams, let's say. Maybe by week four you might have gotten him in there or whatever. But no, I we also need to look at the history of the GM. Who did he grow up under? His old man. What did his old man do? Develop quarterbacks, and he developed them slowly. So I don't think the apple falls far from the tree. And by the way, it is the right and the safe thing to do. What's the easiest way to keep your bosses off your ass, especially in year one? We're going slow with the kid boss.
Mm. Okay.
And you know what? And if that guy wants to, then this would be the first. Now, it's funny you mentioned the, oh, okay. Since they've taken back the organization, would they actually stand up there in front of the media and say, yeah, we wanted him to play and I encouraged them to put him in there? That will not happen, and you know that as well as I do. It might happen behind the scenes with a little inherent pressure, but at the end of the day, is ownership going to go from, oh, we were scared to talk to Bill sometimes, to, yeah, I told him to put his ass in there. I don't know.
Yeah, I do think that there is this element of, hey, I can have a conversation with Gerard. You know, like, hey.
Whereas with Bill, like, oh, I can't speak
wouldn't even,
to him.
I wouldn't even suggest this. Hey, if this was Bill, I wouldn't even suggest this. But since it's, you know, you and we're buddies and you have a cool nickname for me, yeah, like, why not just throw him in there? Why not give him a shot? Like, if we're all the silos are down, we're going to collaborate. It should be me, you, and Elliot Wolf. Let's all talk about it real quick.
Too many people doing too many new things.
Well, I mean, Jerod Mayo is still just coaching. He's just coaching.
Right.
Right? I mean, he's coaching and organizing, but he's got people to help him.
Sure.
Right? Just
sure.
He's the voice,
sure,
of the voice
was,
of the...
I am sure that when it came to putting together the offensive philosophy, he was heavily involved.
Yeah, I don't think he was involved at all.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. That's my whole point. So we're fractured and splintered already in terms of figuring out the existing people here on how to grow this player. And Mac Jones got screwed up a couple years ago to where ownership should be encouraging them to take your time, do it right. That's what it should be. There's no risk in not playing him. Does that make sense?
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
The safe play is to sit him and not play him at all.
And now again, there's the whole, you know, don't play him during the whole season versus, hey, we'll get him in there. And my target at the beginning of the year was week 8.
Jeez,
I feel like
now.
Well, but I feel like I got to move that up a little bit. And some of it I go by the whatever time of day it is when the head coach is talking, whatever he's saying that day. But in reality, with the way they've handled him, if we use our eyes and the way they've kind of paced May a little bit, they have not been pushing on the accelerator for the kid to be ready for week 1. So for as much as I'll bust Mayo's chops about, you know, oh, it's Wednesday, Bailey Zappi's going to be the starter. If we go by the way they've handled it, that wasn't Jerod Mayo neither, by the way. That was offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt, who I firmly believe was leading the way. And then it was Jerod, what do you think? And he's like, oh, yeah, it's pretty good. You know what I mean? Like, there's your collaboration there. So in reality, we have a head coach, but he's more the head coach of the defense than he is the head coach of the offense.
I wonder how much of, if this is like a normal work week, right? So they're not practicing today. And I wish I would have asked Tom, because I feel like it is a normal work week, right? Because that's why they have Tuesday off, and they'll try to get them, you know, mentally prepared to deal with it, which is weird because you'll play on Sunday, right? Play on this Sunday, and then you have the whole next week off.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the week off, but there's no games that week.
But
that's Labor Day weekend.
But that's also cut week. You're finishing your roster.
Yeah.
You're putting So next week is the fine-tuning of the roster.
Yeah, so Tuesday, a week from today, really, you're going to have to go down to – you have to cut like 37 guys. You'll add some practice squad guys. You'll have Labor Day, right? And that first game is on Thursday. And don't they go – what doesn't the NFL go Thursday, Friday?
Opening week.
The international game, then on Sunday. I think Jacoby Brissett is probably going to play the entire first half and the first series in the third quarter.
So let me ask you this. Who is this week really for?
It's for, well, this week, as far as big picture quarterback-wise?
No, I'm talking about the whole game week scenario. Who's it really for? The players or the coaches?
Oh, you think the coaches need more work figuring out like how to coach a game?
Yeah. If they're going to go through what would be a normal game week, right? If they're going to do that, then it's Monday, putting together the game plan.
Okay.
Tomorrow, or today's everyone's off, right? Yep. And then you get into Wednesday, and then it would be. So I assume that if they're going to try to do it like a game week, then maybe you would present the players a little more information. Because here's the other thing, and the reason I bring up the whole coaching end of it, because it's really Alex Van Pelt and, Ben McAdoo and then everybody else who has to figure out what their role is in terms of the offensive philosophy they're going to use that week. How are we going to coach it up? What are the coaching points going to be? What do I need the receivers to work on? All that kind of stuff. These people have not done it together before. let alone Jerod Mayo being a part of the process. Like, they're really not putting in an offensive game plan for this. They're going to go through what they'll say is the whole, oh, we're going to go through the
game.
Well,
no, I do. That is a good point because they are going to.
They all got
to
go through.
Special teams. Here's the situation. You know, here's like our schedule. You know, hey, hurry up and get tape. We have a walkthrough. You know, practice starts promptly at 1, or done at 3:15. Yeah, I guess. I mean, for the rookies,
We're so used to, we don't have to worry about the coaches, right? In a week like this, it would be more about, well, which young guys are fighting for roster spots under the previous administration. Now, they arguably, as a coaching staff, need more work this week or as much work this week as the players do in terms of getting ready, if they're really going to go through it. Because again, what are they going to, are they more talking about their process of how they will do it when it's time, or will they really put together kind of a mini functional game plan so everybody can kind of go through the paces? I think that's a massive part of this as well that we can't undersell. And it's not like those coaches aren't incapable of doing it or that they haven't been in some role on game day. But on the whole, none of them have been in the roles that they are going to be in on game day, including AVP as an actual play caller.
And before we get to Are You Done, do you think that Mayo declares a starter, announces a starter?
Well, you give me a timeline or just?
I think in general.
He's not going to be able to help himself.
Well,
he's
but right now it's been like Jacoby's a starter. Now we don't have a starter. Like the guys want to know who the frickin' starter is. Like, you need to declare a starter. You need to put his name out there. You need to let the world know. Jacoby Brissett has won the competition. He's our starter.
They probably do it after cuts, might be my guess. That's just a pure guess on my part.
Well, yeah, you'd have plenty of time to do it, too.
Because there's no way. People are going to think this is me being mean, but I'm being real. There's no way, unless they have already decided it, that after the game on Sunday, Jerod Mayo unilaterally makes an announcement like that. This is team collaboration, so they're at least going to need a couple of days to be able to come together and figure out when they're going to announce. Well, we know they're going to announce, which is that Jacoby Brissett will be the starting quarterback on week one. But it is interesting how they will make this week work. I'm very curious to see, you know, what do they do on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? And does that kind of keep up during the regular season? Or was this more for, as a texter sent in, this week is for the children, meaning the youngs on the roster and the coaching staff that's just trying to come together? If you missed any portion of this show, go to WEEI.com. You can click right on Gresh and Fourier. And bingo bango, you can get everything that we did today or yesterday or last week right at your fingertips, WEEI.com, or subscribe to the Gresh and Fourier podcast. Are You Done? Brings it home next.
You can watch the show anytime via our live stream on Twitch. Just go to twitch.tv/BostonWEEI and check out WEEI on YouTube for our video on demand content updated daily. Now, more of Gresh and Fourier on WEEI. Now, it's time for...
Are you done? Are you done?
On Gresh and Fourier.
So tomorrow, off a little early for Red Sox baseball as they will wrap up their series in Houston. Andy Hart will be with us tomorrow. And maybe Foya put his glasses back on.
No.
There's a big thing on Twitch today that you did not have your glasses on.
I know.
It was more when the show started.
I know. I can see better, but
also
I
also squinting an awful lot trying to read that screen.
I can't. I still can't. Kind of can't see it.
Do you have the contacts in the right eyes?
I will check tonight.
Can I also give you? I watched your video over the weekend.
Yeah.
I wore contacts well before I got LASIK.
Okay.
Can I give you the trick?
Go ahead. I'm open to all tricks and hacks.
If you stare at the thing coming into your eye and putting it on, you're never going to get it on.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I thought you were supposed to stare at it.
No. You look away.
Oh,
not
Jesus.
Up. but like look to the right if you're putting the one in the right, and then it'll go in there, and then you blinky blinky and it'll be okay. If you stare at your finger with it coming in, you're going to have a hard time.
I thought it had to go right on the eyeball.
No, if you put your finger on your eye, you could move that thing around right now, correct?
I'm not doing it.
Oh, you're not
just going to get
point?
It to stick on the eyeball, and then you can adjust it.
There you go. That's really what
you
it
don't
is.
Have to, it doesn't have to be like a bullseye for it to stay on there.
Bingo.
So you could kind of put it off to the side a little bit and then just kind of use your fingertip just to slide it over a bit.
Yep.
And if you blink a little bit, it'll just slide in.
Yeah, it might fall into place easily. Right.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I don't know about adjusting it. Once they go in there, I freak out if I have to touch it.
Why? It's not that big
a
deal.
It just freaks me out. Listen, I've never worn contacts before.
How long have you had prescriptions?
What, eyeglasses?
In general, yeah.
Oh, for 6 years?
No, here's another thing, too. How are you holding your eye open? Are you going like this?
You got to do it the way Gresh is doing
it. See the way I'm doing it?
And then the contacts on your right index.
See the way I'm doing it? Boom, there you go. Hold it like that, because then that way your face can't crunch down on there.
That is a look right there.
I'm just telling you.
That's how you put them in about 6 seconds.
It is. It really is true.
How would you know?
I used to wear dailies.
Oh, really?
I said, screw it. This is way too much work. Okay. Way too much money.
Yeah, that's true, too. I don't know if I'm committed to it. It's like, I've only done it for 4 days.
I did it
Why
for
did
two
you get them in the first place, may I
Because
ask?
I'm sick of, like, losing my glasses, like, washing my
football's
glasses.
Football's hitting them.
Hey, football's breaking them. Yes, thank you. That's what they said when I walked in.
Did they really?
Yes.
They're like, oh, I'm sick of your, like, real, you're sick of your glasses.
They fixed
He catches that with contacts.
I do.
You catch it in the eye.
You don't have the glare.
Yeah, that's right. That's why my whole idea of why I dropped it in the first place.
Oh, my
through my hands.
God. Yeah. Well, Chicken Nick has an Are You Done?
So, college football starts this week.
Yes, it does.
I don't know if you guys know that. Saturday, we got a couple games. I think there's a ranked game in there, too. But anyway, NIL is getting out of control. And by getting out of control, I mean it's already out of control. Oklahoma State. They're putting QR codes on the back of their helmets so that people at home and in the stands can scan a player's QR code and donate to their NIL fund.
Now, here is the ultimate irony.
That into that person or just the entire fund?
No,
I don't know
if it's the entire fund. I think it is geared towards each individual kid, which is why it's on the back of their individual helmets. I'm sure it's like
for the school's NIL fund.
There you go. Which is kind of like the church building fund.
Yeah.
But what's interesting about this is what red ass Oklahoma State head coach Mike Gundy said just a couple days ago about NIL and giving. What a coinky dink that this guy said this and then they're slapping QR codes on helmets.
There's no negotiating now. Portal's over. All negotiations history. Now we're playing football.
You can enjoy
this coaching
crazy
playing football.
Conference and a 12-team playoff and everything being so different, just the newness of it all.
Yeah, and you know, the business side of what we do now is we have to have those conversations with them. You know, tell your agent to quit calling us and asking for more money. It's non-negotiable now. Get them to start again in December. So now we're able to direct ourselves just at football, and that part is fun. Because there's been so much other stuff going on, it's been hard to really focus on football.
So you see a guy, you see a receiver catch a pass, right? A guy make a tackle. They one shot. The guy is like running, right? Do you have to pause, like to kind of grab? Like how do you grab the? You got to use your phone to kind of grab the QR code, right? You pause it? Do you DVR it? Do you pause it? What do you do?
So clearly we're going to have to like do a little more investigating as to how Oklahoma State plans to implement this technology.
Well, that's what it is. You got to like track the guy running for a touchdown.
Well, if T. Boone Pickens were alive, they wouldn't have to do any of this.
I know. I'll just drill another hole and get some oil.
Yep, exactly. And then I'll send you a check. You need $100 million?
I'm still amazed by this. It is amazing. Like a college coach saying, hey, tell your agent to stop calling me. Negotiations are over. Time to play football. Until December, you can open it up again. Stop asking me for more money.
The GM of the school.
Yeah, the GM of the school. That's right. Alabama just gave their GM $825K.
Jesus.
To be the I could do that. Are you kidding me?
Any guy, like, if you think about it, if you're in the NFL or if you're an assistant, go to an SEC school, make $1 million a year to handle their money.
Yeah. And to find money, Jeez. Too.
Well, I guess
they got to find it.
Com.
Oh, there you go.
They need find this money.
.gov, yeah.
.com for over a year now.
All right. Let's not pile on Fourier.
Why don't you pay attention to commercials once in a while?
I know.
And they gave us like a huge check, by the way.
His site
is... reads it like two times a day.
His site is fuzzy, so let's cut him a break.
His hiring is also fuzzy.
I pay attention to the... It's free!
That is true. Just like listening to this show, it's free starting tomorrow at 10 a.m. Billy and Chicken Nick produced it on the radio side. Intern Jacob on the video side. If something went wrong, well, blame Billy and Nick. Because I don't think we can on Jacob. But regardless, Jones and Mego and Arcand are next. Short show tomorrow, but we still start at 10 a.m.
Thank you for listening.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.